Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
This is Onik.
And it's been a few weeks. I do apologize. It's my fault. And I won't say just, point a finger at me, Onik, right? It really literally is my fault, man. I've been behind on a few things, and I think real life has caught up to me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think about 5 years ago, when the Cryptic Commander first started, I was just going head first, man. And I would try to get this program on every podcast platform that was available. I was going on other shows left and right, building up like advertisement or marketing, And like I said, I would just go head first, not thinking about really what I'm doing. I think I knew like what I was doing, but, hindsight now, looking back, it's like, whoa, boy, you really hit the ground running, And
yeah, you're just experimenting. You're just trying different things. And You probably had so many ideas and so many things that you wanted to do. You kind of did it all.
It's true, man. And I was, and where I'm going with this is I was spreading myself thin. And I'm in Discord, Facebook groups. Not just one Discord, because I was confused about Discord when I got on there. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. This is different. And then, like, all those different servers and stuff, I was like, this is confusing. And I keep getting beeps, so I learned how to just take that off every once in a while. So here we are, 5 years into the show, and I know for a few last episodes, we haven't had a special guest. I was successful in lining one up. I've told you behind the scenes, Onik, who it is.
Yeah.
I won't let the cat out of the bag too much, but I will hint that it's going to be an artist on the next special guest, and it's going to be a female artist. I'm just going to not drop any names right now, but I'm looking forward to it, man. So she's going to be in town in Arizona, and she will be going to our Mesa location. So that's going to be called North Valley Games Mesa. And I think she's coming down on Friday or something. Me and you, or you and I, have to get together and see what's going to work for us. And it's going to be like on the day she wants to do it kind of a thing. And then what she'll probably end up doing is going, hey, this day works for me. Does this day work for you guys? And if it's a no, then she's going to have to go back and like rework a bunch of her stuff out where she's going to be at what time and this and that. She has a, what's the word I'm looking for it? Intern. She's got an intern with her.
Okay.
The intern, you got to go through the intern just to get a hold of her. And, so that's pretty cool. I'm really talking with the intern a lot. Here we are. We got a lot of news to cover. Mainly the Outlaws of Thunder Junction. Now, we got a few weird things to talk about this week. It's going to sound weird, but we got to mention this stuff, And it's pretty hot, too. And it's pretty relevant in the now. But let's start off this week with Card of the Week. John, you've got Card of the Week. Oh, that's different.
Yes, that's you.
That's different.
Yeah. Yeah, normally it's been me who's been picking out a card of the week, and I try to pick something new and different, but You really wanted to cover this topic last time. We kind of alluded to it that we would kind of spend an episode focus on the specific topic, which is Fallout.
Yep, that's
so,
right.
So, John, You picked a Fallout card.
I did. I actually picked a doozy. At first glance, this is like, what, an uncommon, I think. It's uncommon. It's hard for me to tell the set rarity on this set when I'm looking at it digitally. This is Survivor's Med Kit. It costs one colorless. It is an artifact. And it says, pay one, tap, choose one that hasn't been chosen. Now, you got Stem Pack, which is draw a card. You've got Fancy Lab Snack Cakes. That's a mouthful. No pun intended. Create a food token. And last but not least, we've got Rad Away. And it says target player loses all rad counters. Sacrifice Survivor's Med Kit. Now, I want to keep talking about this card, but I have to ask a question, interject a question here. Onik, have you seen any of the Fallout pre-cons being played at all?
Technically, yes. Okay. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was getting a cube together at my LGS, and that was like however long ago, that was the release of the Fallout products. and there was like a table next to me. There was a group of three who had three different of the Fallout Commander decks, and they were playing with them. I don't know which one was missing, but they were playing it, playing with them.
Yeah, going so to technically, town.
Technically, I saw them playing it, but I wasn't watching the game.
I gotcha. A lot of the themes is going to be the rad counters.
Yeah.
And I think the mechanic is they mill a card and they get a rad counter. So the more you see the people playing with the Fallout Commander decks, it's like, oh, there's a lot of rad counters, especially with that Mothman deck. I personally haven't gotten in any games with the Fallout decks, but I've been paying attention to people having fun with them. And I think with the Survivor's Med Kit, when you tap it, you choose one that hasn't been chosen yet. You're trying to hold off on using the target player loses all rad counters. Because the rad counters for you would be bad. You know, this would be like a, hey man, get rid of them. Let's stop the nonsense kind of thing. And people talk about this card in my local game store. John, how would you use this? When would you use this? And I'm like, look, guys, I think you're not looking at this right. I think you want to make copies of this. And then you know what? They're like, oh, you're onto something, because you have to choose one that hasn't been chosen yet. And for just one mana to bring it out, being on curve, if this is synergetic and you've got some things around this that just flow together, I think it would be a nice Timmy thing to do or try. I don't know. I want to turn it over to you, Onik. What do you think about this card?
So I'm actually trying to look up real quick to see how many other cards cause you to lose rad counters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is one other. No, it doesn't. And so this is the only card that causes you to lose rad counters. And for the record, rad is short for radiation.
Yes.
And it's not a card. It's not a token. It's kind of like poison, infect, and how you have like a token or a card that had just like the Phyrexian symbols that,
yeah,
you know, poison counters. You just put dice on there. That's kind of how you keep track of rad counters. And what it is at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, if you have any rad counters, mill that many cards. For each non-land card milled this way, you lose one life and add a rad counter.
Ouch. See, you know, so that people ask me all the time, how would you use this? And I'm thinking outside the box, you know, make copies.
So with this, like, once you have some radiation, you'll lose your library and then you'll lose life and then you'll keep getting more radiation. So it's like a snowball effect. I mean, maybe some decks can take advantage of it because you're putting stuff in the graveyard and that's kind of a good thing at times. But this can be chaotic if it's left unchecked.
I like it. You know, it would be specific to the Fallout theme, right? You wouldn't want this in a deck in case somebody's going to be playing a Fallout deck. This is too situational. Unless the only two modes you care about are draw a card and then the fancy lad snack cakes, you know.
Yeah, but it's draw a card and create a food token on two separate turns. That's by itself is not worth a card to me.
No, right.
I don't know how many of the Fallout Commander decks come with this card in it, and or how many decks actually care about rad counters. I think it's Mothman.
Just the one deck, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a Sultai one, Mothman, or I guess Preston Garvey. Not Preston Garvey.
The science one. The science one, right?
The Master of Transcendent. Mm. That's the other command or legendary creature in the deck that can do something with rad counters.
Well, here's the thing, too. The Mothman deck is known for creating the rad counters. Why would it want something that target player loses all rad counters unless the Mothman's doing it to yourself, too?
It is.
Oh, then that's why.
Yeah.
That's
why. Yeah, so it has a bunch of text on there, but one of it is whenever the wise Mothman enters the battlefield or attacks, each player gets a rad counter.
This card is getting a lot of talk in Arizona. I'm surprised it's not getting a lot of talk where you're at. LA. Well, right?
I mean, yes, I'm in Los Angeles. People probably would be talking about it if I would be listening to them.
But it's Commander. You know. Yeah, it's Commander.
Yeah, it's Commander.
One of my favorite formats, man, as a matter of fact, before we get off this topic, I had bought a new card. I gave you a picture of it. I believe I gave you a picture, or I just told you in words. I picked up a Tundra, and I'm only going to keep it for a Commander deck. I don't plan to take it out and swap decks with it or put it in a Vintage deck or anything. And I really do like Commander, but I will put this on record that Cube is above that in my mind. Like Cube.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, thank you, man. I think Cube is the number one format, and like Commander would be the second format, pushing my Modern to third. And your opinions may vary. That's just my opinion.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And the listeners, too. You know, your opinions may vary. And by the way, my opinions are not the opinions of the Cryptic Commander. Just kidding, man. That's your card of the week this week.
So let's move over to Movers and Shakers, which is powered by MTGStocks.com. You know the deal. Every week, they post their top movers and shakers, which is the cards that go up in value and the cards that you should probably buy now because they're dropping. So with the cheap pickups, number three, which is what I kind of ranted about on a previous episode, Gandalf the White, slowly moving down at about $5.12. We had that year in review set, and one of the things that I mentioned is that cards had kind of let me down. I didn't care for Lord of the Rings, but to me, when I hear Lord of the Rings, one of the first characters I think of is Gandalf.
Fair.
And for one of the few cards to have value, and now it's going down, or actually has been going down, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like some of the face characters should be at least like a, you know, aim for the $10 range. But this is going down. It's just kind of like, well, whatever. It is what it is.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of opinions to be had about this. You know, I think personally, with this card only being legal in what, three formats, is and the push of products from WotC, there's a flood of products, man. I understand. We probably have a whole month break from Murders at Karloff Manor to the Thundered Injunction when this coming out. You know, there's like this extra month break, and that's a good thing. But I think with oversaturation of product, things like this are going to happen. This is a very powerful card. It's mythic rare. And for the 4/5 body flash at 2W3O, you've already got your money's worth right there. You've already got your money's worth right there. And I'm being real with you.
Ooh, I would not pay that rate just by that.
For a flash 4/5, you wouldn't pay 5.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Well, it's still a powerhouse, right? You may cash legendary spells and artifacts. So they had flash. No big deal. But if a permanent artifact entered the battlefield causes a triggered ability to trigger, it triggers an additional time. That's insane. That's like Panharmonicon. Remember, too, there was another card recently spoiled. I think it was from Thunder Junction that does that, too. And there's talk about mechanized reproduction, that one white, one blue. You win the game when that condition's met. At any rate, I think that oversaturation with the product is what makes this happen. Because it's a very powerful card. Yes, it's only played in three formats, but those three formats are played a lot, Onink. Modern, Vintage, Commander. Those formats are played heavily, bro.
Well, Vintage Legacy is not really played in paper as much. That's mostly for online, Magic Online.
Well,
and that's really not much of a market anyway for
Lord of the Rings.
Sorry?
For Lord of the Rings or
for No, what? For I mean, like, you're not paying dollars for cards out of Magic Online. You're just paying paying tickets.
Tickets, yeah.
So that's not really gonna affect the price of it. I mean, that's why, like, you know, the Power 9 stuff on Magic Online is not, you know, tens of thousands of dollars.
What can we blame it on? Can we blame it on saturation?
Oh, I don't think it's anything to blame. I mean if you want, I mean, people love to blame over the oversaturation or push products or whatever the case is, but I just think it's just not that good of a card. This is right. This was a, I don't know if this was a command in a Commander deck or not, or if it's just a regular card in the set, but it's just an average. Okay. Card.
This in particular one came from the set, not from a precon.
Okay.
The one that we're looking at together.
Yeah.
All right.
Number, or the second chief pickup, ironically has almost very same ability. Elish Norn, Mother of Machines, but the Phyrexian version.
How would you even know it's almost the same thing? I can't read Phyrexian.
Oh, I can't. I mean, let me translate it in my
Oracle text.
My multiverse translator.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the one that says if a permanent in English, if a permanent entering the battlefield causes a trigger ability of yours to trigger, it triggers additional time, and then it's like the opposite for your opponents. Permanents entering the battlefield don't cause stuff to trigger for your opponents.
Wow.
So, like, these two, Gandalf and Elish Norn, are both buy cards, both do something with triggers. But the Phyrexian script version is about $20 right now. People like the Phyrexian script versions just because it looks cool, but you can't read the card.
I know. I've been noticing that, man. A lot of commander games recently. I play the Norns and Necks and Phyrexian. Almost everybody, every time. What does that say?
And then you say something, and then you might stutter. I think it doubles all triggers, or maybe just like creatures. And then like, okay, I don't trust you to get out their phone.
Yeah.
Or don't trust, but like want to double check it. Okay.
Flying, first strike, trample, vigilance.
Yeah. When you deal combat damage, target player loses the game, or you win the game, choose one.
Jesus, man. It is mythic rare, you know.
Well, yeah, because it's Elish Norn, and she's the mom of the Phyrexians. Literally, mother of machines.
Yeah.
And the last cheap pickup, Fist of Suns. This is a borderless version from the Ixalan Commander deck.
Ah.
It's starting to move back up a little bit. It kind of was around $2 around Christmas time, and now it's around $3.75, $4 or so. I think this printing was initially, the first version was initially in Fifth Dawn, which is Fist of Suns.
Wow,
I don't know how many times it's been reprinted since, but it's been around for a little bit.
Well, it kind of looks like the artwork of the Infinity Gauntlet from the Marvel Universe.
Actually, yeah. So there's only received one printing. Oh, I did receive a printing in Commander, in a separate Commander one in 2017, but the initial printing has like not an affinity stone, but I guess like a gemstone of something on each finger because there's five suns on Mirrodin.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So in this art, it's in the back, it's on the back of the hand, I guess, where the affinity stones would be on the gauntlet of Thanos or Iron Man or whoever's holding it.
Yeah. It reminds you of cards like that one Elvish Piper or the Dragon Arch, you know, except for it's backwards. You got to pay five. You got to pay Wooburg rather than cast anything in your hand for that spell's normal cost. I mean, it's okay if you're running ultimatums or something.
Right.
But other than that, it's like you're definitely not going to pay Wooburg for a Land of War Elf, you know?
No way.
No way, Jose.
So, top movers and shakers. Normally, it is a top three, but this one has a fourth one.
Oh, yeah.
Number four is Cataran Summons. This is from Mercadian Masks. So, way back, what year did this set release? 99, I think? So, this is an old card. This has gone up thanks to Outlaws of Thunder Junction. Emphasis on Outlaws. We'll get into it on the next episode. But Outlaws is a grouping of creature types, one of which includes the creature type of Mercenary.
Nice.
And this card, for one black mana as a sorcery, Cataran Summons, search your library for a Mercenary card, reveal it, put it in your hand, and shuffle your library.
I like how it says put it in your hand. I mean, it's not better than on the battlefield, but it's way better than put it on top of your library.
Yes, exactly.
For one black, I mean, that is pretty powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tutor for, well, at the time, very, very narrow creature type, because, I mean, that set did have, like, mercenaries, and I think a following set had rebels with Lin Sivvy.
Plus, at that time, the previous sets had only a few mercenaries ever.
Yeah, maybe, like, one per set, if that. And they were just, like, it just happened to have mercenary, but the upcoming set, Outlaws of Thunder Junction, mercenary is a big theme in it. Rakdos, the muscle, is a mercenary. Jolene, Hundering Pugilist, is a mercenary. Vile Smasher is a mercenary along with their other creature types. So this card is going up because of the synergy for the creature type. Number three, Charismatic Conqueror. Oh, I'm sorry. Back to number four. It's around $35 for this uncommon that went from... Is that right? Yeah, I guess so. It was like 90 cents. It was like 60 cents, and then it spiked way up to $35.77.
Holy cow, dude. Holy cow.
Uncommon, yeah.
So I guess it went 60 cents, 536% uptick. Is $35? That's insane, bro.
The percentage doesn't quite make sense to me. I feel like there might have been like a decimal misplaced somewhere.
Yeah, right?
Because what I'm looking at the price right now is around $5 or so.
Oh, it could be $3.57. Yeah, if you look at this graph here, it tops off at like $4, right?
Yeah, so I'm not so sure about the $35. Maybe like $3.57 or something.
Yeah, because I think 60 cents, 400% increase would be like $4. You know, I think you're on to something. I think you caught it, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Well, I mean, we did come from immersive Carl Banner, so my detective game is pretty high right now.
There you go.
So back to number three, Charismatic Conqueror. Okay, this is $35.77. This is correct, which ironically is up 35.77%, which that also feels odd right now.
Hold up. What's this? Is this an April Fool's joke, dude?
I don't know. Maybe.
When was this published? Hold on. I think this is an April Fool's joke, dude.
But either way, this one does seem to be the appropriate price because this card at its lowest was around $12, $13. So for it to jump up seems reasonable. This was printed in the Lost Cameras of Ixalan, a commander deck, and it seems to synergize pretty well. I think it's just going with Caesar, Legion's Emperor from Fallout Caesar. Commander.
Yeah. Caesar, yeah.
Someone told me that it's actually pronounced Kaiser. I don't know if that's true.
No, it's Caesar.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm reading a Caesar, like a Hispanic name.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so I'll tell you right now that my dad was a Fallout fan, right? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't with him all the time he played or anything, but everybody that I know is calling the deck Hail Caesar.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
So that's what I'm going. Yeah, that's what I'm going off of.
Yeah, the deck itself is a pretty strong build around involving lots of tokens.
Yeah.
Number two, and this almost looks like a two part of this. Cyberman Patrol from the Doctor Who Commander decks, or I guess Doctor Who set, whatever you want to call it. Around $6.82, up 144%. And then the other half of this was Cyberman Squadron, which kind of feels it's the same thing, but apparently the deck of Graz, Unstoppable Juggernaut, has been picking up speed in Commander.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So both have a good amount, a lot to do with the artifacts and just attacking with them, turning them sideways, because that's what Juggernauts do. They just attack. Number one, which is a card I've never seen before, Component Pouch. This is an uncommon from, I think, not Lord of the Rings, Adventures of the Forgotten Realm.
No.
Commander.
No, is it? It sure is.
Yeah, AFC.
It sure is.
Adventures of the Fallen Commander.
I don't even know. I've never heard of this in D&D either. I know about the Bag of Holding, but I've never heard of the Component.
I know the Bag of Holding.
Yeah, I don't know about a component pouch. Yeah.
Yeah, this is just an uncommon from the Commander deck. So I'll just read it off. It's an artifact for 3 mana. Tap, remove a component counter from component pouch at 2 mana of different colors.
Oh, that's cute.
And another ability, tap, roll a d20. 1 through 9, put a component counter on component pouch. And then 10 through 20, put 2 component counters on component pouch. I really don't like saying that word that many times.
That's okay. I see why the card's going up, though. Because if you look at cards like, what's that one that I got for $160? Mana Crypt. So if you look at Mana Crypt, you pay three, and it gives you two colorless, and you got to flip that coin, right? This one, no matter what you roll, Onique, it's going to have it to where you can use it next turn, right? Because you sacrifice.
Yeah.
Remove a counter, add two mana of two different colors, which is way better than Mana Vault, right? You roll a 1 through 9, you're putting one counter on this. You roll a 19 through 20, or I'm sorry, 10 through 20, you're putting two counters on this guy. No matter what, every turn, you know, unless things happen, which in games of Magic they do. This is strange, dude.
I mean, it is a 3-mana Mana Rock that you cannot use immediately. So to me, that's already really, really bad. But it can kind of store up mana over time. Like on the third turn, you're not doing anything with it. You're just putting a counter on it. And then on the next turn, then you can get 2 mana out of it. And maybe, hopefully, again, on the next turn, if you rolled high. But
I will say that I made a mistake. Mana Crypt costs 0, right? This costs 3.
Yes. So
there's a bit of a... I'm kind of wenching at it, you know, like.
I think it's because of the card itself. Whenever you roll a 4 or higher, do a thing.
Oh.
You pay 4 mana tap, roll a 6-sided die plus an additional for whatever.
Yeah. So yeah.
This card, Mr. House, says you're rolling a D6. However, any other card in Magic that has you roll a die will specify what kind of die you're rolling. D&D is the only set that went off of non-6-sided.
Mm-hmm.
So rolling a D20, you're very, very likely to roll a 4 or higher. What is it? What's the math? 85%?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So this is getting pretty crazy. And then if you roll a 6 or higher, you instead like create a token and a treasure token. Another card is going up in price alongside with Component Pouch. Is Reckless Endeavor, and it's for 7 mana. Roll 2d12s,
yeah.
Then choose one of the results. It either deals damage equal to the result of each creature. Oh yeah, yeah. It does damage equal to the result.
There's a lot of work being done for us here. I mean, number one, there's a lot of different dice. There's a 20-sider, a 12-sider, a 6-sider, and number two, it all makes sense.
And Comet, Stellar Pup, Space Dog from Infinity.
I forgot.
That's just a 4-mana planeswalker that's actually being played in Legacy occasionally.
Is it 4? Oh, it is 4.
Yeah, so it just has one loyalty ability, which is 0. Roll a d6, and then based on what you roll, you either do +1, -1, +2, -2, and it has an effect that are all pretty good.
Wow.
But this card is going up just because of Mr. House.
Wow.
Is your Movers and Shakers this week.
All right, so Onique, you know, it's been a minute since we did any Magic the Gathering Arena updates. Now, I'm not hinting that we need to do a Magic the Gathering Arena updates, but I was slipped a note from you, that's right, from you, about a Magic the Gathering Arena Championship. Please tell me you got more. Yeah.
Yeah, this happened over the weekend, pretty much end of March, March 30th, 31st. And once in a while, this is the fifth one, so we've had arena championships before, and this is the format of Explorer. You qualify for this through either like getting high ranking on the ranked and ladder, which when I mean high, I mean like you like top 250, not, you know, you just hit mythic and you're an 87%. That doesn't count for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a play-in qualifier tournament, something that you get into, I believe, and then you get into the arena championship. But this is a small tournament of only 32 people. So the format is Explorer. We got to the top 8. So the metagame for this, again, there's only 32 people, 15 players out of 32, like half of the players registered, Rakdos Vampires. Don't forget that Explorer is extremely similar to Pioneer. Not quite the same because we're missing a few pieces. But with Pioneer, just recently, we had Seth Manfield win the whole event with Rakdos Vampires. It was a breakout deck that defeated the Amalio combo. It defeated the Lotus Field combo. It defeated, is it Phoenix, and so on and so on. So everyone's writing, you know, half the people are registered Rakdos Vampires. 15 decks out of 32, so 46.8%. Second represented Amalia combo, six players around 18%. Then is it Phoenix, Quintorius combo, which I'll get into that in a moment. And then one Gruul Vehicles, one Rakdos Sacrifice, one Jund Transmogrify, and one Mono Green Devotion.
Nice.
So in the top eight, out of all the players, we had five Rakdos Vampires in the top eight of Explorer.
Of course.
Take a wild guess what the finals were.
I don't want to. it's making me think of Modern with Rakdos Scam, you know? I see buddies at mine at the local game store here, and they're just all about the Rakdos Vampires. They're like, oh, dude, it's so sick. It's not to the point where you can't beat them, join them. But week after week, these guys are winning, you know? I'll take a guess here that it was pretty much all of them against them.
No.
Really?
First place went to Tony Ramis Pascal with Is It Phoenix.
What?
And then second place went to Ryan Condon with Quintorius combo.
What?
Yeah. I mean,
I would have never thought that.
Third and fourth were Rakdos Vampires.
Sure.
But this is interesting that
they got
Rakdos Vampires isn't the number one deck.
Because we talk about it all the time, though, there's a balance to the whole game. You know, there's not one deck's going to be better than everything. You know, there's not.
Well, to be fair, I still think Rakdos Vampires is the best deck, both in Explorer and in Pioneer. But I don't think it's number one by so much.
Sure, sure.
So I do think other decks can have their moment to shine, which is a Phoenix and number two Quintorius combo. Is a Phoenix is basically the same list that everyone's kind of familiar with.
Yeah.
With, of course, your Arlek Phoenix, your Legislator, your pick lock Prankster.
Mm-hmm.
Treasure Cruise, Sleight of Hand, you know the usual
stuff. Yeah, of course, yeah. But, I mean, it's still to hear Quintorius, you know? It's like, I thought those days were numbered.
So Quintorius is an interesting deck. And I actually looked up how it works in case you guys don't. I don't know how much of a presence this is in paper.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's going to come up soon, but Quintorius combo, it does not have any card in a deck that costs one mana, two mana, or three mana. Which, if you think about that for a second, you're like, huh, that sounds like Cascade. Kind of, because you are playing Quintorius Khand, which is a five mana planeswalker. This is the one that says whenever you cast a spell from exile, Quintorius deals two damage to a target opponent and you gain two life. That's one half of, well, I guess that's basically one half of the combo. The other half of the portion of it is his own -3 ability that says discover four. Yes, this is another Cascade. Just now we're calling it discover.
Yeah, that's right.
Discover four. There is exactly six cards in this deck that cost four mana. Four copies of this and two copies of that. And they are literally copies. No, four Spark Double, two Clever Impersonator.
So Discover's kind of like Cascade, just like this new, yes. You know, turn the creature upside down and make it a ward 2/2 is just like the old mechanic. Where
Morph. Yeah, Discover Morph.
So just like Morph. I mean, it's just like Morph. It's just like Cascade, but two completely different things.
Yeah, I would say Discover's better.
It's just the way it's worded.
Yeah, but this is Discover 4, so it has a value to it. So you're literally exiling the cards of your deck until you find a card that costs 4 mana or less, and the only things you're going to hit is Spark Double or Clever Impersonator. Spark Double is the one that makes a copy of something, except
one extra counter.
It isn't legendary.
And it's not legendary.
So guess what you're making a copy of?
Quintorius Khand. Yeah, of course.
You now have two Quintorius assesses, on the battlefield, and with the new one that you just made a copy of, you're going to do -3 again for another Discover 4. You're going to keep flipping until you find another Spark Double. You, and with Discover, you're casting from Exile, so now both your Quintorii's are...
Yeah, right?
So Quintorii are now... You're both triggering with the static ability.
Uh-huh.
Clever Impersonator is just... It's just a clone. You may have it enter the battlefield of any non-land permanent on the battlefield. So you're copying another Quintorius, except this one is legendary, which will replace the previous one, but that just means you can just reset. And everything else in the deck are just high-costed cards, like Beanstalk Giant. Remember that one from Eldraine?
Yeah.
It's a 7-mana giant dork, but it has the adventure side of 2 and a green. Search a deck for basic land, so it's a ramp.
Which you do first, yeah. I mean, it takes you back to the not the Urion, the Beyond Theros, the Beyond Theros things where you cast them, and if this isn't met, then it goes back in your hand. And you just keep casting it, and the one that was used a lot was the one that was mana ramp. It reminds me of that.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't think of it at the moment.
Yeah, you just think back of Theros Beyond Death era. You know, it had like you pay one black, one green. You can if this isn't in play, then it goes back in your hand or something. Or if you couldn't pay the 7 casting cost, it doesn't come out as a creature. Or it does. You just
Devotion. Yeah, it stays on a battlefield. It's an enchantment that it was an enchantment creature. But if you don't beat the devotion, it isn't a creature.
Yeah. Something like that. You know. At any rate, if you didn't hard cast it, then it goes back in your hand, but you still get a condition.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of, and that's pretty smart, especially in the future. When they start combining all those things together, you know, that's pretty smart, though.
This deck, the Quintorius combo, also runs 4 Trumpeting Carnosaur. That's the one from Ixalan as well. It's a 6-mana 7/6 trample. When it enters a battlefield, discover 5.
Here we go again.
Yep. And the only thing in this deck that you can actually discover for 5 mana, except for the doubling cards, is Quintorius Khan.
Discover 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just a discover deck. Like Beanstalk Giant, it also runs 4 copies of Herd Migration. Or this one actually ran 2 copies of Herd Migration, which is a 7-mana domain spell that makes a bunch of creatures, but it all has an activated cost to where you can discard this card and you can go search for a basic land and put it in your hand. So it just basically ramps you into the bigger stuff to where you can cascade and just combo win.
Yeah, there's a joke there somewhere. You know, you're playing the guy, and you're like, I'll give you credit for discovering it.
Yeah. I don't know who's the one who invented the deck, but yeah. Leyline Binding for control, and this I need to try this deck.
Somebody in R&D, I'm sure.
Yeah, so that's it for the Arena Championship 5. You can find the deck list online. All 600 copies of Rakdos Vampires, and I think how many people registered Quintorius? I think maybe 3. I said 4, 5.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But still, though, it was the top.
Yeah, second place.
Something that's hard to convey over a podcast sometimes is a picture, right? We can do our best to give descriptions and, you know, justify what we're looking at and kind of give adjectives and nouns and stuff. But the next topic is kind of funny to me. I don't know about you, man, but to me, it's kind of funny. Because I remember last time we had brought a subject up like this, or the exact same subject, it was somebody defending the fact that artists sometimes use another person's artwork as a source material, right? So let me just go ahead and give a segue right into our next subject here. There's a little bit of plagiarism going on, question mark. I know about a few days ago, maybe a week ago, you'd sent me this picture. And man, I wasn't putting two and two together. At first, I'm like, what's Onique doing? Playing some new game, reading some new book? You know, because the first one has got like, you know, you mean you say the words, it says Cyberpunk 2020, the Ravengers. It's got somebody's name, I guess the author right there by it. So it looks like a book or something, right? And I'm like, what is Onique doing? And then after that, what do you show me? You show me a picture of this Magic the Gathering card. Now I'm reading the Magic the Gathering card, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, bro, right? I'm not putting two and two together. And then you showed me, was it called montage? Is that the word I'm looking for?
No, not montage. Just pick like art comparison.
There you go. You show me the art comparison. And that's when I put two and two together. But I will be a man and stand tall and tell you this, that I haven't stopped looking at this since you said it to me, bro. I can't stop looking at this, man. I can't stop laughing at it. All right. So I preluded to what we're doing here. Onique, can you please kindly take over? I think you're going to do this justice for the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much of a prelude because we already basically said it except for the card name, but I'm sure most people already have been hearing about this. Trouble in Pairs is the art, is a card in question.
Yeah.
By... So you were talking about how we're going to have a special guest coming up, and they're an artist, and they're a female artist.
Yeah.
Not this one. We're okay. Not going to have Faye Dalton, who is the quote-unquote artist,
okay,
come on our show. Because she is the one who has stolen artwork from other sources.
And is this the first time? Or?
Well, that's the thing. This is a rabbit hole now.
Okay.
So the card Trouble in Pairs features two characters. One's kind of facing the left. One's kind of facing the right. They both mm-hmm. have a weapon in their hand as if they're causing trouble.
Yeah.
Someone, I'm sure a couple people, looked at this card, looked at the art, and was like, hey, I feel like I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
Someone did a little digging, and they found a book cover. I think the name of the book is Cyberpunk 2020 Ravagers.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, the cover of this book is by Donato Giancola, who is a magic artist.
No way!
Yes.
Okay.
So, Donato, I think, was the first one who, maybe one of the first, who called out Faye in this... In the plagiarism in a Twitter,
okay,
saying this is what he said in his tweet.
That's usually where it all goes down nowadays. Go ahead, yeah.
Yes. Wow, nearly speechless, but not speechless enough to not contact a lawyer. Criminal copyright infringement. What were you thinking, Faye Dalton and Wizards of the Coast?
Woo!
To be clear, this is what he's still saying. To be clear, there are exact detail in the neck, arms, background, and hand which show clear copy structures from my art, from Donato's art. Mm-hmm. Copy and paste it. This is not about similarities. This is about direct copying.
Right. So they didn't even take away their source material. I mean, it's this right here. Now, when you say, because it's really you're quoting that person, right? It's not you, Onique.
I'm quoting this. The original artist Donato Giancola of the Cyberpunk.
Yeah. So I think, I could be wrong, right? They'll give the artist an idea like, hey, this is what we want. And then the artist will mock up a picture and go, is this cool? And they're like, yeah, go with it. And then they make a detailed picture and those parameters. So I think WotC was like, hey, man, this is what we're looking for. And then that person goes like this. And WotC's like, yeah, that's it. Go further with it, right? And the person did, gave it to WotC, and WotC's like, yeah, print it. Okay, I think that's what happened. But how can WotC take a picture that somebody else created and go, search through the database of a million pictures, see if somebody already did it? I don't think that's possible. I don't think that's possible. Google's strong, but I don't think that's strong, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is not the... So what was copied was not the entire picture. Like I said, there are two characters in Trouble in Pairs, and the female figure was copied.
Yeah.
This is the one that was flipped over. It was inverted. And, they put different clothes, slightly different hairstyle, but, like, the pose, Donato said, like, the muscles in the neck, everything was the same.
Look at the left hand, Onique. Look at the left hand, not the right hand that's holding the gun and the sword, but look at the left hand.
Yeah, the fist.
It's the same picture.
Yeah.
So, plagiarism, man. That's crazy.
It gets worse.
No.
Then, because once you see some plagiarism, you're like, what else did they do? Someone else found that the male in this picture in Trouble in Pairs was also plagiarized.
No, I was afraid of that.
This was...
What is this world coming
another,
to?
Another book cover called, I guess this is an old book called Trapped from Norman Struber. I'm not so sure who did the art on this one, but this has another picture of like the book cover, or it could be like a comic book. I'm not so sure.
Do you have that in front of you right now?
Yeah.
Can you send that to me?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you're the man.
But it has like the guy's face who looks like he's kind of peeking around the corner, avoiding the cops or something. It looks like he escaped from prison or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets even worse. Then there is a separate piece. I'm not so sure where this piece came from, but it's like, it looks kind of like a futuristic thing. But this is from, I mean, it could have been the 80s, where there's a guy, there's a man and a woman, but the man is basically bare chested with he kind of has his fist out. So what was copied was like the body structure and the fist of this person plus the face of the other one.
That's crazy. That's crazy. They'll never, they can't sue me because I'm using artwork from this artist and this artist and this artist and this artist and this artist.
So let me send this to you.
That is crazy, here. Dude. So I bet this artist is going to go sue, isn't he?
This is a Twitter link. So the link looks kind of wild.
No, I'm looking at it, yeah.
It also includes a GIF of the comparison of the stolen artwork and the original source. And if you look at it, it's pretty obvious.
Dude, this is crazy. This is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, guess what? It gets worse.
No, stop it.
So let's talk about a different card. Remember the baseball-themed planeswalkers? It was a secret lair. It was a special. It looks like a vintage baseball card of Ajani, Liliana,
okay,
Chandra.
I think like, I missed that like a window.
Baseball uniform. It looked really cool. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking I'm going to buy this one.
Okay.
Kind of glad I didn't. Because apparently, ironically, Ajani was plagiarized.
No way. Was it the same artist?
It's still Clay Dalton, the one who stole artwork. So this is like, okay, so Ajani is a cat in Magic, but he has a kind of face of a lion.
Yeah.
Lions are, I would say, pretty commonly illustrated in various pieces of work. And this was a illustration of Ajani. Sorry, this was an illustration of just a lion. I think it was literally called just Portrait of a Lion or something like that. But if you kind of like superimpose, I'm not so sure what the right word is, but if you kind of like try to layer it on top of each other, you can see where certain details kind of line up on top of each other. And that's that link I just sent to you.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
So yeah, there's a lot of theft going around.
Oh wow, I see it.
And I think people started to kind of
look at all this that's underneath here though, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
People kind of started to like get a little bit carried away with the meme of it all. Of like, you know, Faye Dalton. Because Faye has done maybe 20 pieces in Magic, but you know, those five. I don't know if she did all five of the baseball planeswalkers, but she did some secret lairs, one of which was
Day of the Dead or something like that, Dawn of the Dead or something.
Yes. Yes. Evil Dead.
Evil Dead, yeah.
Wow. So, okay. Back to what I was saying. Some people kind of started to meme on this one a little bit of like how... So there's a card of Ash from Evil Dead, but the card is Pure Steel Paladin, like the abilities of mana cost and whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's a picture of Ash, and he's got a chainsaw over his head. He's kind of has like this deranged look over on his face, like he's getting ready to kill something or whatever. But this is an actual person in a movie? I don't know. I guess it's a movie. You laugh at me. I don't know what's going on. But people started memeing on it because like they're saying that she plagiarized an actual human that is supposed to depict.
Do you have a picture in front of you or no?
Yeah, which is kind of funny.
Let me see. I've seen the Evil Dead movies back and forth, and I think his name's Bruce Campbell or something like that. I want to say his name's Bruce Campbell, but
like, how else are you supposed to draw a picture of a person without it looking like a person? You know what I mean?
Wow.
But if you change the pose, if you change like the direction that he's looking in, maybe different facial expressions, that's going to be challenging to capture the likeness of someone for a pose that he hasn't done. You know, like, I'm not saying that this is a pass for plagiarism or whatever. It's just like, kind of, everyone's giving the artist a really, really hard time.
Well, at this point,
should.
Yeah, at this point, I'm looking at this Bruce Campbell picture right here, and I'm just like, Faye, what are you doing? What are you doing? I got into the game, I think, primarily because of the art. Some of my favorite guests that come on this show are some of the artists. And to see this going on in our community, man, it almost makes me speechless, you know?
So
this is hard to take in, man.
Of course, Wizards is aware of what's going on.
Oh, I'm sure they are. X, right? X.
No, Wizards of the Coast, not Twitter. No,
I know, but I'm saying that X is like the platform where we all go vent on. I'm sure Wizards is hip to it.
Oh, well, they did make an official statement.
Okay.
On March 29th.
Where? On X?
On MagicTheGathering.com.
Oh, okay.
Or Wizards.com, rather.
Sure.
Very, very short, so I'll just read it all. We've heard questions on the integrity of the art on the card Trouble in Pairs from the Murders at Karlov Manor Commander set. Mm-hmm. And we had questions, too. As we have looked further into this, we're now suspending future work with Faye Dalton.
Yeah, buddy.
That's it.
Yep. No, I love it, man. Short and sweet and to the point, right? And that's what should happen. That's what should happen, man. Like, come on. You're not wanted here, man. You know?
They don't need to get into, like, other stuff in question. They don't need to get into, like, let me get an opinion from Donato, you know.
Let's just cut our ties now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame them.
We don't know if Faye, like, if there is a card that Faye Dalton has done that's coming out in Thunder Junction, that's still going to come out no matter what. You're not going to unprint the cards, take them out of the booster packs, say, hey, I need you to draw something real quick and make it have a cowboy hat, please.
I know how it works. You know? They've done it in the past too, man. Like, I think I want to say Therese Nielsen, you know,
sounds very, very familiar. I know the person, but I think they're like, well, there's one more card coming out in a secret lair, and then that's it.
Yeah, so they can't go back and untake that, right? Because it's already printed. I mean, they could. They could. But
it's not worth it.
It's not going to happen, right? You're talking money here.
Yeah, and they've already paid the artist for the piece.
And the printing company.
The
printing company, the labor involved in that. So, yeah, all the money's already in there. We're not paying more money to do. What do we do with the Magic the Gathering Arena? Oh, we're going to make it digital only. We're going to swap the pictures like it's supposed to be. But in print, it's just going to be the mistake. We're sorry.
Yeah.
Which doesn't raise the value of those cards. Well, Onique, I'm running out of time over here. So, unless you got anything else, dude, I'm going to go to wrap up portion.
No, that's it. I mean, I kind of thought we'd maybe talk a little bit more about Fallout, but we don't have to.
We can start off next week with that.
We're going to do Thunder Junction.
I know. We can put a little footnote on there. If anything you want to talk about, we can just, you know.
We don't need to.
Okay. I think we covered enough Fallout because I'm not that big of a fan. You're not that big of a fan.
Oh, I thought you were a big fan of Fallout, but whatever.
Big of a fan, man.
Okay, well, a lot more than me. Okay,
That's fair. Okay. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode. And I do apologize that there was a week or two that was not an episode released. I even made a promise to the fans that I was going to put one out, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, or was it Saturday, Sunday, then Monday. And then things just got in the way. Well, we're back on track. Every Monday, you will hear a podcast come out, and it'll be that day the podcast has been recorded. Today is a Wednesday. Today is April the 3rd. And it will be released on April the 3rd. Now, because when I upload things to the internet for the podcast, Onique, and the listeners, since you guys are listening, it does take a while for that to hit like Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, and all that. So if I put it up at 11 o'clock, it could be out at midnight, which would be the next date. So from now on, when you and I record, Onique, and anybody else that's going to be coming on with us, I will edit that podcast that night and put it out that night. Because for a while, man, people were just like, hey, man, I go to work on Tuesday. It's really good. Like, I can listen to this even if it was recorded Monday and I'm going to work on Tuesday morning. I'm going up like, yeah, bud, you get your podcast fixed in there. And then I let it go, just put it on the back burner. And I shouldn't have done that.
Life catches up.
Yeah, life catches up, right? So, but I'm back on track. Onique, I'm taking all the blame. It really is my fault, man. And just like I told people at work, the employees I work with, hey, I made a mistake last week. You know, nobody's perfect, but let's just make sure we are keeping on top. And more employees were like, oh, man, I'm glad you said that something because I made a mistake too. You know, it's like, look, we're all human, man. You know, but just keep an eye on it. That's all. So we're going to let the listeners go. And it's a promise from me to you, the listeners. We will record on Mondays and put it out on Mondays. And sometimes we'll put an extra episode out. I think we got that artist coming on, which is not a Monday. So be on the lookout for extra content. And until next time, keep spell slinging.